It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as we are just a little under a day away from the tip-off of the NCAA tournament, everybody's favorite couple afternoons of the year are the Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament. Get out of work a little early, go grab a beverage and maybe a burger somewhere, and watch several games all at once, and that starts noon tomorrow. We will have every hour of the broadcasts here on WGCL. We'll tell you a little bit more about that broadcast here in the next segment, so stay tuned for a little bit more detail on that, but know that we'll be carrying a lot of college basketball in the NCAA tournament here over the next several weeks, and again, starting around noon tomorrow. Indiana is a Friday about 2:45 tip-off against Wichita State. We'll give you our brackets a little later in the show, but first we have to concentrate here on the Hoosiers. They head up against the Wichita State team that was undefeated and a number one seed last year, heading into the tournament and got paired in the second round, or I guess officially the third round, the way they call it, against the eighth-ranked Kentucky Wildcats, which raised some eyebrows that they were only eighth-ranked at the, or eighth-seeded, I should say, at the time, but knocked out before the round of 16 by the Kentucky Wildcats. But they return a lot of kids off of that team, including most of their backcourt. And Glass, you know, as far as a challenge for this Indiana Hoosiers, we knew they weren't going to get an easy game. We knew they were probably going to be a lower seed no matter who they played. But getting stuck up against the Wichita State team that can't be real happy about getting what looks like for them a bad seven seed. You know, a lot of people think they should be a five or six at absolute worst. So now you get a good team with a good backcourt, a good team with a veteran good backcourt, and a team that's maybe a little ticked off about getting a bad seed in that case. Not a lot of help for the Hoosiers, who probably needed about any help they could get.
Well, the help was they got in, and beggars can't be choosers. And now that they're in the tournament, again, that's got to be the farthest thing from Indiana's mind. And to talk, we'll start off with a little Wichita State action here. Go ahead and Google how far Omaha is from Wichita State. So if Wichita State, if they wanted to be a five seed in Seattle, or a seven seed, however close they are to Omaha,
sure.
Well, I don't think that's a bad deal. The other part of the draw that Wichita State won't be too upset with is a Kansas team that hasn't been playing very well in the last couple of weeks. They've had plenty of injury problems, etc., but they are in Kentucky's region again. So that's your Wichita State angle. The other thing is, Dave, the Missouri Valley Conference ended 12 days ago.
Yeah.
They didn't play last weekend. They've been sitting around, so you never know how a team's going to react. But as you mentioned accurately, this team has plenty of veteran leadership. It has plenty of coaching as well. So those are things that where if you want to split hairs and get into nitpicky stuff, that could be an issue. But coaching, experience, and guard play are the three things that I talk about on this program about March 17th every year, and they check all three of those boxes. They're not the biggest, meanest team you will see in the front court, but again, that's not where they make their money. They've won games in the 80s. They've won games holding teams in the 50s, so they can do it just about any style you want as well. And yeah, they're good. They're real good. This is a four straight year in a row in the tournament. 2013 Final Four. 2014, you mentioned last year, and now here we are in 2015. So it's a very tall mountain to climb, but it is a mountain that you have a chance to climb if you're Indiana. That's the good news. Is it a matchup that's good for the Hoosier team? In the front court matchup, yeah, it is. But experienced guards, a situation where they've been there, done that. I don't know what's going to rattle Wichita State. You played and got into. Go look up who they beat. I did earlier today, if you got it in front of you. Who they beat in 2013 to get to the Final Four, they beat Gonzaga as a one in the second round.
Yeah.
Right? Gonzaga's a one seed, and they beat them handily.
Yeah.
They beat them
handily.
And,
again, Gonzaga, I mean, we're not talking
they
Kansas,
still had to do it in the West region against Gonzaga. Number two, they have to beat number two Ohio State to get to the Final Four, and they do so. They got one cookie in there in the middle, but to have to go.
Yeah, I think they played somebody in the Sweet 16.
Well, they had a 12-13 game in there, I thought, somewhere.
Yeah.
They was LaSalle. It was
second round.
Okay. And then
the second weekend,
right,
I should say.
So they beat Gonzaga,
yeah,
to get to the Sweet
16. Was LaSalle.
Okay.
They beat Gonzaga to get there.
They beat LaSalle, and then they had to beat Ohio State to go to a Final Four. And then in that Final Four, they led Louisville at halftime. They led Louisville by 6 or 8, if I remember that game off the top of my head, with like at the under 8 timeout. It was, again, Wichita State was driving the bus. So they've been in some big situations. This team hasn't fluked it anywhere. Nobody flukes 34-0. I don't care what league you're playing in. That doesn't happen. They did that last year. They had Kentucky on the ropes, and you say that because, well, you think, well, they're a one. They should automatically win that. Well, I'm not sure how that works out with Kentucky's talent.
Okay.
So they've been in battles. They've been in wars, and this isn't going to bother them that much. The only thing you hope is they have read all the clippings about Indiana. They've read that Indiana hasn't beaten a tournament team since the end of January.
Right.
You read that they can't defend anybody, and you hope they get a little sassy. But I have a really hard time with the resume I just gave you of what's happened over the last 2-3 years with this program for them, with that coach, and with that backcourt to fall in any kind of trap leading into Friday's game.
Well, 333-2665 is our phone number. I wanted to ask you about some of the mental side of things for Wichita State. Obviously, we can't know for sure, but there's some interesting parts of it. I mean, one is Indiana does not look like the daunting Indiana that you might have thought of 20 years ago. So for Wichita State, they're not looking at Indiana with a whole lot of fear. That's for damn sure. They've been through these battles, and Indiana is not their top team right now. On top of that, they've been underseeded. So does that tick them off, or does that make them, does that upset them? I don't know. But what's weirder even on top of that is that they have this whole backstory of a potential second-round matchup against Kansas, who is right in that area, who has been ducking them for 20 years and will not schedule them, even though they're dying to get a game against Kansas anywhere on earth. Now they have a potential of that, but they're looking past that already. The Wichita papers are out there already writing about all this stuff.
Yeah.
They're already chalking up both of these teams as wins. And that's dangerous to me. It's a 7-10 game, and we're going to make a lot out of Wichita State because they deserve it, but are they going to make too much out of themselves and look forward to Kansas?
As Tom Crean told everybody on his radio show Monday night, experts got to get paid too. Everybody's got to make a living, right? What other angle has Wichita State in the last 2 years not covered? Undefeated in their conference champions, regular season champions, Final Four, being a number one seed in the tournament. There's not much else to write about right now for this team. And you can only do so much moaning about how you are poorly seeded. And again, where that game is being played in Omaha, that's a huge advantage for them. This game is not in Dayton, where you're going to have 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 Indiana fans hop over and make a three-hour trip. That's not the case. You have a good Indiana crowd because Indiana travels everywhere. But if this team was full of hotshot freshmen and sophomores, I'd buy that argument more. They're not. They're full of grizzled guys that have been there. Redshirt juniors Evan Wessel and Ron Baker, they brought on the bench the last three trips. In 2012, Baker redshirted. Wessel was active, but didn't see time.
Only three guys played on that team, but they're all their
Van
guards.
Fleet.
They're starting guards that played on that team in 2013.
Right, and Takeo Cotton. He's only played in 118 wins for this team. In 60s, he's got good size. He's strong. So there's not that angle with me, at least, where A, the coach overlooks it, and B, he's got a group of kids who had a target on their back every game last season going undefeated, and they were favorites again this year to win the Missouri Valley and went out and went 17-1.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't see that. The papers can write whatever they want. What's said in the locker room is going to be what's most important. And can the Hoosiers win the game? Absolutely. Anybody can win any game on any given night. How many 16 seeds have we seen come in one basket or one possession? It is a wonderful, wonderful theater. It is wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful drama, and Indiana's going to need to play some really good basketball, Dave, if they want to see one more game this year.
Talk about how the Hoosiers match up against Wichita State's backcourt-dominated team. Where does that sound familiar? We'll talk about all that when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Reminder, we will have the NCAA tournament all over the WGCL airwaves starting around noon tomorrow. It is the Westwood One national feed, and they are treating this a bit like you're used to in the old days, seeing the broadcasts on television, in that they've got their featured games, they've named their featured games, and then they're going to jump around where they need to. So if something's happening, or if it's halftime, or if one game becomes a blowout, they're going to move to something else. That means they will not focus on the IU game during the IU game slot, but I'm sure at some point they'll jump in there, and they'll certainly cover just about every other game under the sun during the course of the broadcasts, and we'll have them all for you all day long, again, starting noon Friday and Saturday here on WGCL. 333-2665 is a phone number, looking at IU and Wichita State. This is a Wichita State team. Interestingly, it is guard dominated. It is not very big. It plays three players that are 6'7", and that's about as big as they go on a regular basis. Otherwise, they're a bunch of 6'2", 6'3" guards. They rebound really well as guards. I mean, that's the one thing I think if you look for any comparison between these two teams, IU rebounds pretty well from its guard position. Wichita State rebounds really well from its guard position.
Well, if we're going to stay with the guards, how about this? The Shockers are committing fewer turnovers per game, 9.1, than all but three other teams in the country, and their turnover margin is plus 4. That's also in the top 10. Let me see.
They're also one of the slowest teams pace-wise in America.
Good coached.
Take care of the ball.
Valuable guard play. Experience. Yep. Three tough angles right there, and where Indiana has their only experience is in the backcourt with Yogi Ferrell.
They have had some streaky games from three-point land. If you look at a couple of their losses, Ron Baker is their best three-point shooter. He has had some games where he's put up a few and missed many of them, and that's cost him. It cost him against Illinois State. It cost him earlier this year against Northern Iowa. But saying that, against Northern Iowa, that was their only loss during the conference, 17-1. So that's pretty impressive regardless of that particular loss. So, I mean, it's a really good team, and it's going to test you. And this, if you talk about IU, you talk about the strength of its backcourt, you talk about the athleticism of Troy Williams. At the very least, you don't have to talk about having a big 7-footer back there in the middle that you can't match up with. But that said, it's going to come down to your strength versus their strength, and is their strength stronger? It's certainly more veteran. Is it stronger? We'll find out at the end of the day. You can certainly make the argument. They got veteran guys that score and rebound and take care of the ball.
They've been in these situations. That's the other point. What's going to rattle these guys? Again, how many losses have they had in the last 5 years, last 3 years? What, 16?
They had 9-13 when it was all said and done.
Well, there you go. Well, they had one last year. Year's 10, and five this year, or whatever. Yeah. I don't know if they count the conference tournament. That goes on your record, doesn't it?
So yes,
there you
go. It's only four.
Not many. So they know what it takes to win. They obviously have proven it in tight situations, and some of those losses, Dave, that we just mentioned against really good teams on neutral courts have been within a possession or two. They did not get beat by 20 points in the Final Four like we've seen some teams go show up and just, hey, lucky us, and gets destroyed. They led the game for a lot of the game.
333-2665 is our phone number. Let's bring in Ed. How you doing, Ed?
Hey, guys. I think it's going to be interesting. I do think Wichita is going to come in a little peeved because
the Rodney Dangerfield of college athletics.
Absolutely. And the problem that I think IU's going to have is two things. One, if they play like they did against Maryland and Ohio State, IU can win not only this game, but they can win maybe another one. But if they play the way they did the majority of the time, the last six games, and they're not hitting, their threes aren't going down, it's going to be a short afternoon.
Well, I think you've painted a very broad picture, but an accurate one. A team that hasn't won two games in a row since the end of the third week in January. I'm not sure where we're going to dig in and say, hey, look, just because it's a Missouri Valley Conference team, all of a sudden Indiana is going to, A, get their act together, or B, because of said opponent, in a casual term, that all of a sudden it's going to come together. What Indiana has shown us since the third week in January is they beat teams that are not as good as they are, and Wichita State is better than they are on paper and in a lot of places. I think that's just accurate. But as you have mentioned accurately, we have seen Indiana at times, sadly most of them at Assembly Hall, where they have shot the basketball really, really well and beaten teams like Maryland, beaten teams like Ohio State, who's a 10 seed as well. Yep. So that's there. But there's too much gap for me. And good job on the call, Ed. Sorry.
Thanks for the phone call.
There's too much gap
it.
Because there hasn't been that consistency. There has been the all or nothingness factor, and that's the tough part to regulate.
Look, you've seen the best of the way this team plays. And if it brings the energy that it brought at the end of the very end, the last two games, if it brings that and hits some three-pointers, shares the ball, and hits the boards, those are what it needs to do. It will be in this game. It can be in this game. There's no question about that. But you're exactly right. This is a team they're going up against that's got guys that can match them in the backcourt, quality-wise, can shut them down, isn't going to make the mistakes that they've shown they will make. I mean, that's the other problem here is they're not going to make the mistakes.
No.
We are used to making the mistakes. We both hit the boards in that regard.
Where do you get extra possessions?
You got to hit a couple extra shots on them is what you got
to
do.
Where do you get the extra possessions to get against a team that's plus
five
in the
mark? They slow way down, and that's what hurts this team.
And that's what good guards do. If Indiana knocks down a couple shots, Wichita State, it's not going to be Melo Trimble sprinting it up the court taking the first shot he sees. No. They're going to get it. They've got experience in this. And to be fair, after you play Louisville in the Final Four, then you play Kentucky, they've seen some athletes. They've seen some great players. They're not going to be out of their depth.
They're not going to be. I mean, Troy Williams is going to be an interesting matchup for them. What do they do with that is a big question. Does it help Indiana at the end of the day? Because we've seen Troy have some crazy games, too, in a bad way also. But that's an interesting matchup. The other one, of course, is you got to go right the point guard to start with. Yogi Ferrell against Fred Van Vliet. This is a great matchup for NCAA tournament purposes at the very least. I mean, Yogi is a first team All Big Ten guy. Fred Van Vliet's right there. You know, on every other level, he would be there, you know, if he were in the Big Ten. It's a phenomenal matchup.
And that's one where the senior or the junior in Van Vliet and the junior in Yogi, they have to be mature enough not to make it about them.
Right.
When Yogi has tried to take over games, and we can go point them all out, we're not going to. We've done it 17,000 times this year, and it's you listeners know what we're talking about. When Indiana goes one-on-one with Yogi, they are easy to guard.
Mm-hmm.
There is no secret to what's happening. It's a high ball screen, and everybody helps to go to Yogi.
Right.
And it's not hard. And guess what happens when the ball doesn't go in the basket? Indiana gets really easy to guard because it's going right back to it.
Right.
And when they don't share the ball, when they don't spread the offense, when they don't do a lot of those other things, we haven't seen that system play itself out in a positive way lately. So I think Yogi's mature enough that that's not going to be a quote-unquote battle he's going to get into. He knows his team is not going to be successful if that's the action he's going to take.
And who's the better defensive guy on this
day? And Van Vliet's not going to get into this. He's just been through too many games and he's won too many games and know that that's not how he wins. Look at his numbers.
Right.
Well, he's getting 12 points, 4 assists. I mean, that's not – he's 12 points and 5 assists.
5 assists, 4.5 rebounds.
And 2 steals.
And 2 steals.
So, I mean, that's great. That's a very solid guard play. That's why Wichita State's good.
Yeah.
Good guards.
333-2665 is the phone number. Let's bring in Greg. How you doing, Greg?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Thanks for calling, brother. What's happening?
Hey, well, not a whole lot. I actually just wanted to I think the key to this game on Friday is two things. Number one, we have to figure out somehow how to play defense, which
Amen.
We haven't done all season. And you know, we're bigger than Wichita State. I mean, they're one of the smallest teams in the land.
Mm-hmm.
But if Blackman goes, 6-for-8 from 3-point land, and we can play solid defense, we're going to be okay. But I think the problem with that is that means we see a lot of Stanford Robinson because he's a better defender, and we have to defend the perimeter better because their guards are so effective.
Absolutely.
And, if Stan Robinson, if you've got him out on the field, that means you're losing a perimeter shooter somewhere because I think we've seen where Robinson can't shoot.
Right, so, and when you put Robinson and Williams on the same floor together, now you got three guys that can hit knock down jumpers. Those guys aren't going to shoot jumpers.
Here's
you're exactly
the thing.
Right.
Wichita State isn't going to kill you with sheer athleticism on the offensive end.
They're going to kill you with grit.
It's going to kill you with toughness, and it's going to work hard, and it's going to work the clock to get a good shot. And so it's about discipline when it comes to the defense. And unfortunately, this is a defense that's not very
disciplined. And the other part of that is Stan has been turnover friendly, and that's another thing. Mm-hmm. If you're going to get in a short possession game, Indiana's best recipe, and you nailed it. Indiana goes out and hits 8 or 9 3-pointers.
Blackman can't
go
2-for-12.
No one can. Johnson can't. Yogi can't. Troy can't. You can't have any of those guys do that to beat a really good basketball team. We've seen that. We haven't seen Indiana on off nights beat any good teams. We've seen them on off nights beat teams that might not be in their same caliber. But I think the initial point was great, Greg. If Indiana's not going to guard anybody, Wichita State has shown they can throw up some offense. And when guys get layups, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about Indiana's failure to guard the three-point shot. We're talking about failure to guard cutters.
Yeah.
We're talking failure to guys beating you off the dribble to lay the ball in the basket. Two-pointers are so much easier to make than threes, and that you're right. How does that change? That's a fantastic question. Do we see some different wrinkles? I think you have to. Do you see more? I think what you're going to see is you're going to see more line changes. I think they're going to run guys, because as you mentioned, the perimeter guys are going to get weighted down a little bit. And if Indiana's got to play Johnson, Blackman, and Yogi 35 minutes in this game against that backcourt, that's not going to be a good recipe.
Well, and the other thing is if you put Williams and Stan Robinson on the floor at the same time, and nothing against those two guys because they're both athletic, and Troy Williams especially, but he's also turnover prone.
Right.
But the two of them, very athletic, and you can tell that Troy Williams is an up-and-comer, and eventually he will be there kind of like an
old. But they're undisciplined.
The other issue, I think those guys spend a lot of time maybe watching some of those old N1 mixtapes and try to do those moves against each other, in practice and try that. Like, it's like he's trying something brand new he's never done before in a game situation and ends up, turning the ball over or something.
And I think Maryland was a good example of that, because all of a sudden Troy hits one jumper, hits two, hits three in a row. And then in the second half, those jumpers keep going up, and they're not going in. Because Troy forgot that he can drive past anybody on the floor, mainly anytime he wants, and get to the rim. And that's just part of being a grown-up team. That's something that Indiana, in their possessions, have to be smart with, and they have to finish. How many times have we heard this year, well, geez, you've had open shots, you haven't finished them? What gets left out of that is, and even in the Maryland game, you're missing shots from 3 feet and in. If you miss, if you're missing 23 footers is one thing. I got it. 2 of 16. Yeah, gotcha.
No, they got Hartman into the, missed ball they got into
at
the rim.
Troy missed shots at the rim. Perea missed shots at the rim. Mm-hmm. Holt even wasn't perfect in that. So Indiana has to do a better job of finishing. When Indiana is successful, and this has been something, one of my hammer points of the year that I can't wait for next year to start so I can find a new point, their offense is what puts pressure on other teams.
Mm-hmm.
It's not their defense. It's not their rebounding.
Right.
It's not their substitution pattern. It's not the second wave. It is their absolute ability to put the ball in the basket. And when they do that, they're usually pretty good. And when they struggle to do so, Dave, when they get in these droughts of 6, 8, 9, 12, 14, 17 minutes, whatever we've seen, because we've seen them all, that's the problem with a team like that. They haven't found a way to grow out of that.
We will see. We certainly didn't see it
it's
down the stretch.
Theater.
So there is the possibility, but who knows, against a Wichita State team. It's an awfully daunting opponent at this point. We'll come back with our predictions for that game, and we'll start looking forward to the rest of the bracket when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Give a quick programming note. We're going to have a whole mess of NCAA basketball here on WGCL. Starting noon tomorrow, we have the
Woo-hoo!
Westwood One national broadcast. This is going to be just like the old days of CBS television, where they have their featured games they hone in on, and then they'll jump around as necessary. If you get some bad games, some blowouts, or something's going on elsewhere, they'll jump in on that. But that means they won't be sticking with any one thing for any particular long amount of time, or may not at the very least. But again, starts noon tomorrow. It'll go all night long until the last game's over each night. So we got it all here.
Lionel Richie approves of that.
Absolutely. 333-2665 is our phone number. IU against Wichita State. Let's bring in our friend John. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Good to hear from you, brother. Happy March. What a wonderful time of year.
Best time of the year.
That's exactly right. 16 games tomorrow. 16 games on Friday. 8 more Saturday and Sunday.
Getting a little scared about Wichita State, though.
And I'm terrified of Wichita State, John. How about you?
Dave, you said something, and I've heard like 4 or 5 people I've talked to say the same thing. They were getting Wichita State at a good time because we'll be looking past us to get Kansas. Well, Greg Marshall's a really good coach, and they're a veteran team. And all Greg Marshall's got to say is, boys, if you want to play Kansas, Indiana's in front of you first. You got to take care of them.
Yeah.
And we'll get their best shot.
That's not an immature team,
you know what?
Sadly.
With a veteran team, I think you're right. But I have to ask the question, because these are kids. You see it all the time. All they're talking about right now in Kansas is this potential matchup with Kansas. And because they've been waiting for it for so long, and kids hear that stuff.
Yeah, but they've also seen enough game film in Indiana to see how Indiana guards or doesn't guard. So if we go out there and give them our B game, we can probably beat Indiana with our B game, but they're not going to get any Wichita's B game.
That's the other part of it, is that they're hearing how bad Indiana is right now and how their coach is going to be leaving and how this and that's going to be going on.
34-1, 28-4 doesn't...
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
That doesn't show me they take many nights off.
They've played enough good teams. teams. They're not going to be, I mean, they wouldn't be cowed by the name anyway of Indiana because Kentucky, Gonzaga, Ohio State. All
they haven't had a two-game losing streak since 2013.
Right. They're a very, very mature team. They got a very, very mature coach. So all these people are just saying, well, we're getting at the right time. I don't think there's such a thing as a right time. Right
I do. The only argument I'll make different than that is they'll have 13 days off when the ball tips, and rust is a factor. And the one thing that can save Indiana, John, is you go out like you did against Northwestern, get up 24-6, and all of a sudden the game plan goes out the window. Rust has that effect, but what rust doesn't usually affect is defending somebody. It usually has to do with shot making.
Rust and comfort. If you go out there comfortable, if Wichita State goes out there comfortable thinking this is going to be kind of a cakewalk and it's no problem, we'll just jump right back into it all. Again, we're trying to find little reasons that something might be going in their favor.
Yeah, Duke, Dayton, Ohio State last year.
I think you're right, John. I think Marshall doesn't play. He plays the name on the jersey. He doesn't play the seed. He doesn't play the record because
coach does.
He's a 9 seed. He beats Gonzaga. He's a 9 seed. He beats Ohio State.
It's about the kids. If the kids listen to it and get up for it or not.
Right, and his kids have shown with that record in the last 2 years that they listen and get it because they don't fall asleep at the wheel at a Tuesday night in Carbondale.
Sure.
They don't do that. They win those games, and that's why it scares you to death.
Well, when you're a traditionally strong mid-major like they have been for the last 3 or 4 years, you take on all comers and you take every game one at a time.
They lost a regional final to George Mason, didn't they?
Right.
And that wasn't Marshall. That was Turgeon, but they've been around the block.
Right. So, I mean, I just wanted to say one more thing. I have a hard time understanding why Crean hasn't played him at Hope more this year, because I think he's their best inside player. I mean, I know he's young and he makes some mistakes, but you can see he's going to be a really good player, especially as a rebounder. And I just don't understand.
I think I have your answer. I think there's styles of play that they have seen Emmett Hope more comfortable with than others. He was not comfortable with Isaac Haas and A.J. Hammonds. He was not comfortable banging bodies with perhaps Schilling and Costello. But when you played maybe Maryland, who has the length but not the girth, you know what I mean?
Right.
It looked like he was more comfortable in games where that wasn't the issue, or maybe guys are a little bit slower, not as athletic as he was, where they didn't have that overwhelming height. More fair fight. So I think the confidence issue there is a different thing too, because Holt changes his classification 10 days before he gets here, and he's had enough problems this season where he doesn't need to be shattered.
There's a lot mentally that's been going on with him during the course of the year, and it's stuck that way pretty much all year. And then I think late in the season, what you saw was him really hit a wall mentally. I mean, he had a couple games where he was 7 or 6 minutes in a couple of those games in a row. And so really the Maryland game, I wouldn't say it's surprising, because we've seen some good minutes out of Holtz in spurts, but it was surprising in that he had kind of been more on a trend of heading down and being really kind of out of sorts. So to see him jump back up and have a really good game and a really tough game inside when we needed it really bad is fantastic.
He should be fresh.
There's a whole bunch of promise for this kid down the stretch or down the road. I mean, there's no question about that. But remember, he came in August. He was not on that Montreal trip with them. Then they had the issue with him and Devin Davis, and he gets suspended, and he went through that whole thing, and all of a sudden he's in trouble. He doesn't look like a huge aggressive guy out there necessarily. So I think there's been a lot going on with Emmett Holt, but all his best basketball is ahead of him, that's for sure.
I don't know if this matchup helps because of the experience in the front court and the total balance of Wichita State. You know, going against Ricky Doyle, sure, throw him out there, no problem. Kaminsky, Decker, Nigel Hayes,
you need him to be tough inside, you need him to rebound.
Exactly.
That's
right. And if he gives you 12 good minutes, I don't know what else you can ask for.
He did pretty well against Des Wells, and Dodd's not anything special.
That's what I'm talking about. Dodd's
a really special
He's
player.
Tall, but you know, Wells is 6'5 on the perimeter, 6'6. I mean, that's a different.
This would be a game that you'd like to see some really good minutes out of him. And if you happen to beat Wichita State and you go up against Kansas, they've got some trees over there.
Well, the other problem is no one can have a night off on Friday night. You can't do it. There can't be anybody that comes in and gives you. If you go in for 6 minutes and you don't give a lot, I get you, that's fine. But if anybody's going to play double figure minutes and give you nothing, you're going to get beat by Wichita State. Indiana's, again, when they're balanced, they're very difficult to play against, and they have to create that balance by playing well, no question.
Excellent job.
Who's in the Final Four, John?
I got Wisconsin, Kentucky, Duke and Virginia, and I got Virginia beating Duke and Wisconsin beating Kentucky, and then Wisconsin beating Virginia.
Well, there you go.
Keeping it in the family.
We share.
I don't like Wisconsin, like I told Glass off the air. It's not because I don't like Kentucky, which I know, but I just saw him play last year. If Trayvon Jackson hits his free throws,
again,
Wisconsin would have won the game, and I think nobody has improved more than Nigel Hayes has.
He's great.
He's been really
good. You might throw Willie Cauley-Stein in that pile. He's been awfully good, because remember, he got hurt in the tournament last year, and he played those games. And good, I like that, because I'll tell you my picks here coming up, and we'll agree on some of it.
Do we beat Wichita State?
No, I don't think so. I've got Indiana and Ohio State both losing in the first round. Everybody else in the Big Ten moving on. So
Ohio State's a weird team, because all it takes is Russell one bad half, and that team's
out. Well, and they're disconnected. They're the seniors aren't listening to the MATA, or they're not listening to each other, or something like that. And I mean, I know VCU is a team that the press probably won't bother Ohio State that much, but Ohio State will throw the ball all over the place anyway.
Ohio State has the best worst case scenario. The best case scenario is Russell can get 35 and beat you off the dribble and do anything he wants, and the worst case scenario is he has a game like he had at Assembly Hall, and he's a non-factor, and they lose easily.
And those seniors don't do a thing; they don't even show up.
Well, and
which is not all that unheard of.
Well, don't forget, this is a lot of the same VCU side that couldn't knock out Stephen F. Austin last year and fouled a guy shooting a three with 3 seconds left to force the game into overtime, and they lost the game. So,
Shaka is a genius. He'll get
Shaka
him.
Went to a final
Shaka
four.
Smart. He's good. Very good coach.
Did you know he just won his first anything championship?
Yeah,
that blew me away.
Yeah.
So, that shows you how good he is.
You make your darlings in the NCAA tournament.
Shows you how good he is. He gets in from a league that doesn't have a lot of bids without automatically qualifying.
Yeah, the last few years
have
gotten more. That's the thing, the NCAA tournament. John, thanks for the phone call.
John.
We appreciate it, as always.
John's always good.
Before we hit this next break, we've got a couple minutes. Let's go ahead and give our predictions. I think we all are pretty much in agreement here about IU and Wichita State. And it doesn't look good for all the matchup reasons you would think, and that is veterans in the backcourt against youngsters in the backcourt.
No, it's not the matchup Indiana needed. It's not the matchup they probably wanted. Too many things have to go right that we haven't seen happen on a consistent basis. Is that a fair analysis? Indiana has to shoot it well across the board. They have to rebound across the
against
board.
Against this team, absolutely, because this is a disciplined team that is not going to make a lot of mistakes.
No turnovers.
If this
big
team
rebound.
Here's the difference between playing Wisconsin versus Maryland. Now, I mean, there's a talent difference. They play differently. I understand that. But the difference is Wisconsin doesn't hurt themselves. Maryland's happy to throw it all over the park and run up and down the court with you and be just as undisciplined as you are. And that's why we competed well with Maryland and got our doors blown off by Wisconsin. This team doesn't score like Wisconsin does, Wichita State, but they're disciplined like them.
They are, and they're going to grind you on defense, and they're going to grind you on offense. And Indiana has shown that they are a wonderful flat-track bully. If they get out and get ahead and keep making shots, they can put pressure on plenty of teams. Wichita State, for me, checks too many boxes. They got a good coach. They got veteran backcourt. We've told you their record throughout the whole show today. The league they play in doesn't get any credit that it should. That's a tough league to play in. Yeah. It's not the Big Ten. I understand that. But what Indiana has to do, Dave, is play perfect. The expectation on Indiana, they're sitting in the catbird seat right now, because what I've gleaned over the last few years is they don't have any problem being the underdog. They're in Omaha.
Yeah.
They're away from home. They're a 10 seed, written off. A lot of people thought they weren't going to get in. Are they playing with house's money? That doesn't make the ball go in the basket. That's the tough part. That team Indiana has to score, and they have to put pressure on Wichita State by scoring. So what do you need tomorrow? Simple. You need Troy Williams, not a career game, a really good one.
Yeah.
You need James Blackmon Jr. and Robert Johnson both. You can't have them go 8 for 24 and Blackmon hit 7. That doesn't work.
Yeah, no.
You
got to
have
balance.
And whether it's 12 shots apiece or 8 shots apiece, you make half of them, you got a good shot there, and then you hope you're in the game at the under 4 timeout in that 4-6 range, just as I always talk about.
Got a chance.
And you got a chance, because Indiana can always make 2 threes in a row. We've seen it. And that can bail you out of a lot of bad situations.
Look, we talk a lot about the threes with this team. To me, tomorrow, if it trades threes for free throws because it's getting to the basket and getting fouled, then that's just as good, in my opinion. Now, I know it's one less point, but
you're unguarded.
Can get to the basket against this Wichita State team. I mean, that's the whole key right now. Can they shoot over them? Because they're going to be all over their bodies. Do they take advantage of that as part of the question? It's one or the other. I mean, they've got to have one or the other and be successful. And the other part of that is inside, since it's not – that daunting inside, you've got to rebound. You've got to be rebounding the ball constantly. You cannot lose. In fact, you've got to win the rebounding battle by 12 in this game to make up for everything else that's going to go wrong for you. You do. You have to hit the boards. You have to hit them hard. I don't think they get it done, though.
That's a lot of missed shots.
That's exactly right.
Let's just say Indiana wins. Let's just do that, and it'll be easier.
You want to do that?
Let's just do that. Let's say the Hoosiers, sure. Let the Hoosiers win. And if they do, it'll be an excellent performance, and they'll be deserving victors. We know that. We know that for sure. It could salvage a season that, again,
it'd be a hell of a win.
I don't care if it hasn't ended well.
Only a 7-10. This is a team that ought to be a 5.
Doesn't matter in the NCAA tournament. But the last taste you want in your mouth is, hey, we kind of played hard and kind of did, just go out and get after it. That'd be the easiest.
We'll give you some big picture NCAA picks. Look a little bit at the bracket when we get back. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Once again, we kick off Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA tournament around noon tomorrow. Very exciting time of year. Hoosiers play 2:45-ish on Wednesday. So looking at the whole thing, the ultimate question, of course, is can Kentucky go undefeated for the first time since those 76 Hoosiers? Most Hoosiers would like to see that not happen. I'm certainly among them, so that's a big question. Glass, can they go the entire time, or will someone knock them off?
I think someone's going to knock them off. Number one, I'm an Indiana fan, so I will never root for Kentucky to do anything that has anything to get anywhere near one of the great teams in Indiana's history. The other thing is the odds just start stacking up and stacking up against it. This Kentucky team is not juniors and seniors who are tournament battle-tested. John made a great point in our last segment. Trayvon Jackson, I think, missed 3 out of 4 free throws in the last 30 seconds in that game. That gave Wisconsin a shot to lose the game. They could have put Kentucky away. They didn't. So Kentucky hits a shot to get to the Final Four to beat Michigan, the Harrison kid. He hits another one against Wisconsin. The kid made shots, right? He's tough. I get it. He's tested. But it shows me that the addition of Towns and the kid from Indianapolis, Lyles and Booker, those are good. They're really good players. They haven't had to go through this yet. The main players on that team are the Harrison twins and Cauley Stein. And Cauley Stein wasn't involved with it last year because he had a knee problem. Yeah. So this isn't an ultimate driving machine. This isn't a perfect Kentucky team. And you saw double overtime at Texas A&M, overtime with Ole Miss in Rupp Arena, struggles with LSU, struggles with Georgia. It's not this team is – it is not the Vegas of 1991 where they blasted – everybody.
Well,
that's not the case.
They are head and shoulders more talented than everybody right now.
They play defense.
You have to be impressed with the way they play defense and the way they share the ball.
I am.
I don't think the SEC was all that much to write home about this
year.
That's
the other issue.
I mean, so what they did during that, I don't
know.
They had some awfully impressive out-of-conference wins.
The issue will be the Final Four, or the regional final, because you got 5 days to get ready for them. The Final Four and the national championship, those 3 games in a row, they haven't played a stretch like that.
Right.
And to get through that gauntlet, the odds, I don't think, are with you. I don't think they're going to win the national championship, and I think Wisconsin's going to beat them in revenge.
I've got somebody else beating them. Arizona beating them, but I agree with you. I mean, I think somebody else is going to come through. You know, look, they say there's no pressure on top of them, but if they hear for a week heading into the Final Four that they got
young,
a chance to go undefeated,
they're young kids. They're totally the opposite of Wichita State in that they got there last year, which kind of was expected, wasn't expected. Calipari knows what he's doing. He's been around this stuff a long time. But it's the immaturity, the physical talent, there's no questioning it. It's what happens when they're down 6 or 8 with 6 minutes to go. Do they get locked in on defense? Where does the offense come from? They get in foul trouble. Yes, they have a deep bench, but some of those players play a lot more than the others because they're better.
They're used to relying on their skill, and sometimes just throwing up a shot over somebody isn't going to work.
And don't forget the coaching at that level. Regional final level,
absolutely.
Final Four level, and national championship game level is a different animal.
Let's look at the Final Four real quick. Some quick picks right now.
We got time. You know what I hate?
I mean, Kentucky's got to come out of this region, don't they?
They do, because Notre Dame doesn't have enough. Kansas is beaten up. You know, might give them some problems. It'd be Wichita State in the regional final. They don't have any size to do
there.
It. But that's
Notre Dame's
that's
a team
problem.
That's unconscious enough to me, scoring wise.
Texas has played them before. Texas has enough numbers. They don't have enough experience to do so. No, because you just keep crossing them off the list. We've seen enough
erratic.
Of Maryland. Cincinnati or Purdue isn't going to beat them unless it gets into a slowdown, grind it out. That's what Purdue can frustrate them. There's no question. Yeah. They got enough size in there.
But Kentucky's going to grind people down, too.
Exactly right. But you have a better chance beating a team 44-42 than you do 90-70. Exactly right. In the East, it's very interesting because I hate the bracket on the bottom of the East because Virginia and Michigan State was a 1-4 Sweet 16 matchup last year.
Yeah.
The committee sticks them in a round two. It's terrible for basketball. Wisconsin, back in their region, they're going to play Oregon in the second round for the second year in a row. They could eventually face Baylor, which they played last year as well. Some of these matchups drive me crazy. Wouldn't surprise me, Dave, to see an Iowa-Iowa State in the South in the bottom there. I like Iowa State beating Duke. Duke, for me, is... They're a little phony baloney. They get all the mustard. They get all the relish. But for me, they got young guards.
They're a young team.
Bad combination. And if Okafor gets any kind of foul trouble,
that's exactly right.
I don't buy it. Iowa State can run up and down the court with people and talk about a team that puts pressure on you with their offense. Iowa State, checks that box off. Iowa State for me from the South.
I've got Iowa State also coming out of there. I've got Arizona coming out of the West. You mentioned Wisconsin.
Wisconsin went on.
Look, I can go either way on that. I picked Arizona in this bracket. I think they've got a better chance of beating Kentucky when it's all said and done. Kentucky on the Midwest. I've got Virginia working their way out of the East. I've got Nova losing to Northern Iowa. Look, I don't know exactly how to pick this in particular, but at this stage, guard play and a team that can shut you down is a team that I think is going to go a long way. Well, it's also Virginia, and Virginia's used to, by this stage, certainly defending
people. The only
thing
that you worry about Virginia is if somebody gets a warm shooting night against them, can they keep up with it?
Yep.
And that's a difficult thing, but a team that's won as many games as they have, you don't worry.
The Big Ten. I'm
upset. I just told you I don't like the Michigan State seed. I thought Michigan State is going to cause some people some problems.
They should be higher.
And Virginia is going to be one of those teams that beat them last year.
Big Ten got no. They got a 1-4 and then 3-7s.
Maryland's going to be in some trouble. I don't think they have the horses to run with Kentucky. The other interesting team is Ohio State because of Russell. Russell is good enough where he can just blow up and carry a team in the last seven minutes and score enough points and get to the foul line. That's the scary team, I think, from the Big Ten. Is that first number one seed to go out will be?
You're asking me this?
Yeah, it's got to be Villanova.
I've got Nova.
It's got to be Villanova.
I've got Nova. I've got all the other three getting to the Elite Eight at least.
And there always will be massive, massive upsets every year. Texas beating Butler could be one of the first ones to go. That's the first game, I think.
I don't know how massive that would be, but it is seeding wise.
Yeah, it's a big one. So we'll see what happens. And your national champion is.
I've got Arizona. I've got Arizona beating Iowa State.
So we'll have to fight it out over there in the West.
Well, we still have the West at the very least. So
all
we
the
got
West
that.
Was won.
There you go. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Again, NCAA tournament basketball starts noon tomorrow. So tune in then. We'll be back Monday to talk about that whole first weekend. You've been in the zone.